How many have ever ordered something off of Amazon and got it delivered to your house? Or seen someone get it off delivered to your house? Maybe for some, this coming time, you know, if you have American background, this next week is American Thanksgiving and there's Black Friday sales and you're looking at Cyber Monday, you're looking for all these things and you're like, I want to buy that gift. And maybe you're ordering shoes like I would offline, hoping that you're going to have new shoes for Christmas. And in all those moments, you get online and you order it, and there's such an anticipation, there's such an excitement. And you're like, I just can't wait for that doorbell to go as the gift gets placed at the door. And you're so excited to open it up. Ever been there? You're ready to open it up, and you open it up, and you pull it out, and you're like, this is great. And maybe it was a toy, maybe it was something else, and you realize it's missing a piece, or it doesn't work. Or maybe you were buying Nikes and it's a counterfeit and you realize you just bought some Mikeys. And you have one of those moments, and what seemed like such a high moment in time now is like, oh, there's discouragement, there's frustration. There's a wonder of like, how, why? But maybe just like as of this time of year, many of us are getting gifts or buying gifts or finding gifts, with the hope that the gift that we have would work. Maybe some of us have a faith that's just like that gift. A faith that doesn't actually work. A faith that maybe at times to the world around us looks a little bit like a Mikey instead of a Nike. And so this is not a new problem. This is actually a problem that we see the half-brother of Jesus actually sort of speak to the hearers of the day and the readers of this text. And so this gentleman named James begins to speak to the early church, and he asks this question not as a condemnation, but more as a confronting of a situation that many people have been receiving the good news or seeing the gift, but when they opened it and when they draw near to those who were followers of Jesus, they were asked with the question, do you have a faith that works? And so this morning, if you're taking notes, the title of our message is this: keeping faith alive. Because we need to be people who keep faith alive and actually have faith that works. So let's see what James had to say in James chapter 2, reading from verse 14 to 20. Let's see what the word has to say this morning, and this is what it does. Starting in verse 14 of chapter 2, it says this: what good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but you don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, and have a good day, stay warm, and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself is not enough, unless it produces good deeds. It is dead and useless. It doesn't work. Now, someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish! Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? That's strong words, isn't it? So let's jump a few verses ahead to verse 26. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. And so this morning we see that there's this tension. There's this tension that we have, a faith and a belief and a trust that God is enough and He really is, as we're going to see. But with that, there should be more. There shouldn't be a separation of what we talk about and what we walk out. But actually, the two should coincide and be working together. And so this morning, the question becomes, is if someone looked at your faith, if someone looked at your walk, if someone looked at your life, would they believe that your faith works? Or would they think it's Mikey when it should have been Nike? And if that's the case, how do we have faith that moves and faith that transforms in a world that is looking for the good news of the gospel? How many are okay to go here this morning? Good, because even if you aren't, we are for the next about 25 minutes. So here's where we're going. The first truth this morning is keeping faith alive. Right off the hop, we see these words, and these are challenging words. This is a confronting text. This is a text that was not meant to be like, angry, but instead it's a text that is the out your amen moments. And he says these words, "What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but you don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone?" So we have this tension. And the early church and the early readers of this would sort of be feeling this tension. And even today, some of you are like, "Pastor, you're kind of rubbing me the wrong way a little bit here." Because doesn't Paul say that it's only by grace? And isn't James now saying it's works? How does this work? Don't we have sort of a contradiction in Scripture? No. No, we don't. Because we like to say to go one side or the other. So right from the very beginning, let me make this clear. You and I, if you're a follower of Jesus, are saved by grace through faith. Amen? It's not by how good you are. It doesn't matter how many times you rock in the rocking chair or in the rolling skates. It's not how you're going to get to heaven. We are saved by grace and what he did on the cross. You and I could never be righteous enough. We are made right by Jesus Christ. That is the only way. Anything else changes the Christian belief. We have to have faith in that. But what James is saying, that because of that belief, because of that truth, it should demonstrate it changes on the inside, that it would start to show on the outside. That if our heart is really in line with that truth, if our mind is really in line with the truth, that we are saved by grace and we believe on the truth that Jesus came as the sinless lamb to die for you and for me while we were a long ways off as the perfect and final sacrifice, and the grave couldn't hold him, and because the grave couldn't hold him, you and I have life eternal because of him. And because he sent his Holy Spirit who dwells within us, we can operate and function in the same spirit that raised him from the dead in every day of our lives. Because we believe that, and that is the pinnacle of our faith, it should do something on the inside that then manifests and demonstrates itself on the outside. So James is not fighting with Paul. He's phrasing it a little bit different because he sees a problem, and it's a problem that we even see today in the Western world. We do a lot of talking, but we don't do a lot of walking. Like a song of old, and it's not a Christian song, some might relate, but he's actually telling us to walk it out. And so in those moments, that's what he's challenging you and me to do in these moments. Because when we don't, when we try to separate it, when we try to make faith something that we know versus something that we do, our faith isn't working. So I want you to say to your neighbor, say, "Neighbor, that ain't right." Say to your other neighbor, "Don't mind his English." Because in that moment, when we separate the two, we start to get a faith that doesn't look like the biblical understanding of faith. We don't have a faith that is alive. Because James says when we try to separate the two, we don't have the evidence or we don't display alive and vibrant faith. Instead, we show a faith that is missing, malnourished. It's something that is not there. James is saying that works doesn't need to have faith. James is not saying that works must be added to faith, but that genuine or real living faith includes works in its very nature. They can't be separated. If you say, "I've got faith," then thus my actions as a son or a daughter should begin to every day display more of that in how I live my life. The big term for that is sanctification. Every day we are growing through the power of the Holy Spirit to be more and more like Jesus Christ. It's not just in what we have here, it's not just what we have here, but it's in how we speak, how we act with our hands, how we act with our feet. We need to have the full package if we want to have faith in a world that's turned upside down that really works. The faith on the inside breathes life into our actions. In the same way that we see in Genesis 2, verse 7, the Holy Spirit breathes life into our bodies. Think of that for a second. So as our faith grows, as we've been talking, as He stirs up that faith inside of us, it's not enough to just sit on the pew and say, "Amen, Pastor." It's not bad on Sundays. I like that. But He's calling us to live that out all week long. Live that out in our workplaces, in our schools, in our families. When things are tough, when things are scary, He's challenging us to work it out. Work out our faith with fear and trembling. To live that out and display it. There is a truth that says this: if we try and separate faith and action, it is like separating body and breath. It results in a corpse. So if we try to say, "Well, I've got faith," but we do nothing with it, the biblical understanding of faith would be like taking a body and taking breath and separating the two. It doesn't work. James would say it is a dead faith. I don't know about you, but I don't want to have a dead faith. I want to have a living, a vibrant, an active, and a working faith. How many in this place want that? Me too. So let's talk a little bit about what faith that works means. Let's sort of hammer home this truth. So we see, even from the biblical definition, the Hebraic understanding of faith, the word that they would use for faith was this. It was umana or umana. In that understanding, this is what it said, translated as faith or belief, semicolon, but also faithfulness, steadiness, trustworthiness, reliance on God to take firm action rather than a passive belief in. So the understanding of the hearers of the day, for the Hebraic understanding of this biblical word, umana or imana, when it would speak of faith, it wasn't just something you believed. It was a part of that. But it was actually a take action verb. It was a take action word. It's not just a passive belief like, "Well, I believe in God. I believe that He's the one true God. I believe that He saved my life. I believe on Him." Yes, that is good. But what is it doing on the inside of you? What is that belief causing you to do? We are not saved by our actions, but the action should be displayed because of His love in us. How many know that when we love someone, we want to actually serve them, bless them, and honor them? Because I love my wife, yesterday was her birthday. Because I, it's true, she's going to kill me later. She'll kill me later. But because I love my wife, yesterday, if you tried to call me, I put my phone down. Because I wanted to spend time with my family. Because I love my wife, she didn't say, "You have to do this," or "You have to make this," or "Do that." But because of my love, it should be displayed in how I act. In those moments, if you care deeply about someone, if you have a strong conviction, if you have a strong belief in something, it moves you. That's what this text and what this word is saying. That it's going to be steady, it's going to be strong. The actually beginning or the root word of uman, it actually speaks of being a craftsman or a master artist. They have the internal skill or knowledge. They can build something, they can sculpt something. But what is the evidence that they are actually a master craftsman or an artist? When they do it. I could tell you, I could build you a home. I could tell you a lot of things. I'm a pastor, not a builder. I'm a builder this way, but I'm not a master craftsman. I'm the grunt. You tell me what to carry. The proof is in, think of all the words we use. The proof is in the actions speak louder than? Huh. Umana. Just because we talk it doesn't mean we can walk it. And the biblical understanding of what James is saying here is it should move us to action. Faith that works in the biblical day and our modern day is made up of faith, belief, and faithfulness, obedient action. They work together interchangeably. Faith is, I believe that God has saved me. I believe that His grace is more than enough. I believe that His sacrifice is the final sacrifice. And when He said it's finished, oh, I stand on those words. I believe that I am the head, not the tail. Even when the world may say differently, I stand on that truth. I believe that He is the great physician, that I will see healing on this earth, or I will see it in the days to come. But I have a belief and I have a truth, strong conviction that my God is more than able. Those are things that we stand on. Faithfulness, the second part, is saying, I'm obediently going to take a step to apply that in my life. That thus, because I believe that God can heal, I'm faithful and going to exercise faithfulness in praying for God's healing. Because I believe that God loves me when I was a wretch, when someone is a long ways from God in that moment or doesn't realize that God is close, I am going to love them, I'm going to care for them, I'm going to serve them. Because someone says they're hungry, I'm going to try my best to feed them. Because someone is going through what seems like hell, I'm going to get in there and walk through because I know that's not my final destination. In those moments, it's taking faith and working together with faithfulness. It's not a passive belief, but it's an action step. It's a change. Faith requires trust, which leads to obedience, which ultimately leads to action. I love what James says in the paraphrase that Eugene Peterson said in the Message translation. Isn't it obvious that God talk without God acts is outrageous nonsense? So today, if you're like, well, Pastor, I really like to believe it, but I don't like to do anything with it. I liked your other messages, but these last 2 weeks I haven't been too fond of. What James would say in the Message translation is that's outrageous nonsense. Because he's saying, just to believe, how does the faith benefit me without how can I live more like Christ through my actions is nonsense. We are called to be imitators of Jesus Christ. We are called to embody His kingdom that is here and coming through our lives and through our church. Church, that's what we're supposed to be known for. That when people see you, they should see Jesus. And because they're seeing Jesus in us, they're seeing a picture of who the Father is. That's what Scripture tells us. And so that's what faith looks like. Faith was never meant to sit still. Faith was meant to move. Faith that moves. Faith that acts. Not because we're earning something. Oh, but we're transformed by someone. It's not about earning your way in. It's not about getting gold stars. It's about realizing, oh, God found me. God loved me. God's transforming me, and I can't help but display it. I can't help but to show it in everything that I do. So where does that start? Authentic faith changes our hearts, and our changed heart demonstrates your actions. Everything that we do, everything that we say, before our hands can act and before our feet can walk, needs to originate somewhere. And where does that originate? In our hearts. One who we see in Scripture, God says, was a man after His own heart. David, he says these words, it's actually a prayer, create in me a clean heart. Why do you think he would say that? Because out of our heart, everything flows. If we say that we are followers of Jesus, we need Him to create in us a clean heart, to change and transform our heart, because out of our heart, everything will flow. Out of that place of a transformed heart, a renewed mind, as we would see Paul say in Romans 12, out of that truth will flow the actions. We can't flow in healthy service and love and care if we have a bad heart. Eventually, it will show through. I love what N.T. Wright, he says this, faith and works are in fact both part of the same whole, the wholeness of the life that is given over entirely and without reserve to the God who made us, loves us, and calls us to be part of his new creation. It's our life. When we say, I'm going to follow Jesus, through faith, I believe in his grace poured out for me. It's saying, here's my life, God. Mold me, make me, use me. How many remember the old songs that said that? That song is what we're called to live and what James is saying. He says, let's not just look smart. Let's just not quote scripture. Let scripture be quoted through our lives, through our words, through our hands, through our feet. Not so that we would be made right, but that others would see our righteous God through our lives. But it starts with God working in us before he's going to work through us. We have to have that truth that God needs to do a work in us today before he can do a healthy work through us. Because what's happening today in your heart will be displayed in your words, will be displayed in your hands, will be displayed in your feet. How many have ever had those moments if we talked about some of the things where it was hooked? If you've got a bitter heart, if you've got an angry heart, when those moments of the hammer hitting the thumb because you're not a master craftsman, what's in your heart is going to come out your mouth. You get frustrated. You get upset at a referee for a bad call. I was talking with somebody today. It wasn't football, don't worry. You in those moments, you want to be like, grab the ball and you slam it down. Then you say, well, I don't have a temper. I'm not angry. I'm not mad at that person. No. What's going on the inside will eventually be displayed on the outside. We know this. Some of us who have students or have had students, when they're looking for potential spouses, we say, it'll show eventually. Watch for those signs. They say, oh, they're always really nice. We'll just say, well, just watch. You keep watching because what's going on in the inside will be displayed in what they say, how they speak to their mother, how they speak to their father, how they speak through their hands or through their feet. We know that truth, but do we live that truth when it comes to our own faith? That's the question that James is asking us again to sort of interlock. So the final truth becomes this. If we know and we want to have a faith that works, how do we know? How do you know today, how can I know today that I've actually got a faith that works? A faith that when I open the bin, I'm like, I'm going to give that toy on Christmas. And it's like, yes, it works. Not so that when they hit the button, it doesn't work. And you're like, oh, it was never meant to. It's a, you know, paperweight. How do you and I know, and how does the world know that you and I have a living, active, and working faith? The evidence. The evidence of your faith. Paul reminds us that there is evidence of our faith. We see that actually throughout Scripture. So the question I want to ask is this, for you to ponder yourself, not to your neighbor. No neighbor looking. Is your faith known today for talk or more for its walk? Does our faith and our love for God bring about a response in us, a healthy response in us? Because you've been transformed by the good news of the gospel, is it causing you to move? Is it causing you to act? Is it transforming how you speak and what you do with your hands and with your feet? Understand, a lot of times it's a progressive work. It's an act of sanctification. It's always growing, becoming more and more like him. Most of us will never encounter the momentary switch. We all wish it was, but it's an active, a growing, and a living faith. And what is the evidence of your faith? What is the proof of your faith? Hebrews 11:1 reminds us this truth. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence or the proof of things we cannot see. But didn't we learn that the Hebraic understanding of faith was emuna, which meant faith and faithfulness? So in some of those moments, faith, how we live our lives, what we truly believe, shows the reality of what we're hoping for. When people see you, when people see me, they should be seeing a glimpse of the kingdom coming. When they come into our church, they should say, there is something different about those people, in a good way. They're caring. They're kind. They're full of joy even in tough seasons. There's a peace that passes understanding. It doesn't mean that we're perfect. What it means is we're showing them a glimpse or the evidence of a faith that changed us. That when Jesus met us, when Jesus is transforming us, I used to be here before the cross. Oh, but when I made it to the cross, he is transforming my life. It is the evidence or the proof of things we cannot yet see. Remember again, faith changes us. Authentic faith changes our hearts, and a changed heart is demonstrated through action. Two more fast quotes before we get ready to land this plane. This gentleman named Douglas Moo says this: "The words, sermons, prayers, confessions of faith, wise advice, encouragement, they're indispensable to true Christianity. But they are shown to have real meaning, James reminds us, when people can see actions that correspond to those words." Church, we can come every Sunday, and hopefully you're able to take some truth out of what I'm sharing. Hopefully it's bringing some life. Hopefully it's bringing some understanding. But what is really true, what our world really needs, is that we would take those things and we would apply them. That we would take the sermons, we would take what we've read, we would take our understanding, and we would live it out, that we would have a faith that works, a faith that is alive, a faith that is vibrant, and a faith that moves. We need to have a faith that moves throughout our city, that is the evidence and the proof of what we have yet to see, that the kingdom is come and the kingdom is coming. That's the truth of what he's challenging you and me to do. John Wesley put it this way: do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people that you can, as long as ever you can. There's a lot of alls there. He wasn't giving us a lot of ways out. John Wesley was from a while back. This isn't changed. But that challenge is going to be the same. I didn't have it up there, it's my bad. He's challenged us to go to all places, to go to all people, to share of all the things that God has done in us and all the things that he wants to display through us. I don't know about you, but I want to have a faith that works. Then when I go to work, when I go to school, when I come here, that when someone opens the parcel, they're like, yeah, it's good. Just what I needed. That it brings joy, that it brings hope, that it brings peace, not frustration, discouragement, or wondering, why to get Mikey's instead of Nike's? Let's have a genuine, real, living, an authentic, working faith. Let's live out the truth that we've just looked at over the last 10 weeks and say, I want to have a faith that believes. I want to have a faith that walks. I want to have a faith that has a different perspective. I want to have a faith that goes, a faith that shares, because ultimately I want the world to see that faith in Jesus Christ works. It changes everything. So practically, what can we do this week? How can we live it out? Can't share a message like this and say, let's just pray. Because the challenge is, we got to live it out beyond these walls. So what can we do? First one, do a faith check. It's kind of like an oil check. Look inside, ask Holy Spirit. Ask him, how's my faith? Does it work? And be okay to look in the mirror and say, hey, there's some areas, because we all have areas. We have all areas that grow. We are not yet like him. That's our goal. But ask Holy Spirit to begin to reveal through Scripture, reveal through your prayer time, what's an area that I need to work on? Secondly, pray about it. Ask Holy Spirit to breathe life into your faith, to give you the power that is needed to have faith in action. We don't want to separate the two. It's in him, through him, and for him. But ask him, the Holy Spirit, to breathe life into us. Like in Genesis 2:7, he breathed life into the body to give life. Ask today, Holy Spirit, I need your strength. I need your power. I need you refining and reforming me and transforming me to be more like Jesus. Breathe life into my life. Begin to pray the prayer that David prayed. Create in us a clean heart. This week, I want you to challenge you to start that prayer. We see it in Psalm 51. Pray it. God, create in me a clean heart. Out of my heart, the actions will flow. So Holy Spirit, begin to work in my heart. Reveal things that need to be removed. Change and transform me for your glory. Number three, guard your heart. Read the word this week. Even if it's just a few verses, a chapter, or the psalm that I just said, you need to read. Before you start or scroll or check your email messages, what fills your heart will direct your day and guide your hands and your feet. You get into the death scroll on social media, it's going to fill your heart with something. It might fill your heart with dread. It might fill your heart with envy. It might fill your heart with fear. Get into the word of God that will fill your heart with life, with hope, with peace. In those moments, it will direct what you speak, how you act, what you do with your hands and your feet. So guard your heart. Last but not least, work out your faith. For this week, we're going twice to our neighbor. Say, neighbor, it's time to go to the gym. Ready? I know. Then say, neighbor, same neighbor. He's talking about the biblical gym. It's time to work out our faith. Church, it's time, especially in this season where hearts are open, where people are searching and seeking. Let's work out our faith with fear and trembling. Not a bad fear, but a fear of a good God, of a reverence and an awe of a God who found us, who saved us, who loved us, who's transforming us. So this week, let's have eyes that are open to see. How can we serve? How can we love? How can we put our faith into motion? Let's not just talk about it. Let's not just dream about it. Let's actually start to walk it out. Let's start to do it. That as we leave here, we would realize that we are walking into the mission field. We are on mission, church. Faith has moved us. Now let's share the good news that faith is for all, that they can believe on him and their lives would be changed. And it will change us for his glory and our good. Church, if you would, let's rise and let's pray. Dear Lord, from the youngest to the oldest in this place and online, our prayer this morning is that we would have a faith that works. That when people encounter us on the phone, when they encounter us getting oil changes, when they encounter us when it's busy in the mall, that they would see us and say, there's something different in a good way about them. Let us not just talk about the good news, but let us display it in everything we do. Begin to show us ways that we practically can serve others, care for others, display love and kindness, missional truths to the world around us. Let us be your hands and feet as we carry out your mission. Lord, we know that we can't do it in our own strength. We need you. So Holy Spirit, right now, begin to breathe life into us. Reveal areas that need to be transformed in our heart. Begin to empower and equip our hands and our feet for service. Give us the boldness and courage that only comes through your Spirit. That today as we leave here, we would go on mission. That we would have a faith that moves, a faith that works, and a faith that shares the goodness of our God. Lord, we pray for the harvest. We pray as we go, you would provide us opportunities to tell people about you and what you've done. Because Jesus, it's all about you, for your glory. Lord, we thank you and we love you. And we all said together,
Amen. 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 Love you, church.